I'd like to send sincerest good wishes and a welcome to anyone listening to this recording. My name is Rob Christie. I have the joy and the privilege of being with my friend Jim Hamilton this morning. I assume if you're listening to this that you have an interest in personal growth and transformation, as I do. Or put more simply improving your life, improving your results. To do that, you need a track to run on. And one of the many reasons that I hold Jim dearly is he's come up with two different technologies that have proven over time to enable people to actually do that. And the second of those flowed out of his interest in and engagement with neurofeedback. So, Jim, take it away. Share with our audience the technology that you came up with that can support people in improving their results and improving their lives.
All right, Rob. So again, always a pleasure to speak with you and have the audience listening in at their levels of interest and curiosity. And they can always, of course, be in touch with me at coreresonance.com or Visionaries Lab, V-I-S-I-O-N-A-R-I-E-S, visionarieslab.com. I've worked with three physicists. The second physicist introduced me to neurofeedback. And I had not finished Visionaries Thrive in All Times by more than about 8 or 9 months when he and I met.
Brief interruption. You're referring to one of your books, right?
Visionaries Thrive in All Times is the first of five, yes. And actually, I have something called the Shortcuts Through Life series, and that's all five books bundled together. And get them in an audio or ebook or what else is there? Audio, ebook. I don't know. I guess that's it. Anyway, I met a gentleman, and it's kind of like when we met, it was kind of really synchronistic. It's kind of like we fell in love with each other, kind of like, I want to work for you, Will. And then he's going, I want you to work for me, kind of thing. And so what I ended up doing is pioneering his company. It was actually being revamped from its original title. So he was revamping. I showed up. Actually sold exactly $1 million of neurofeedback for him in 14 months. And I'll go so far as to identify that based on two ideas in Visionaries Thrive in All Times. One, if you want to be more than what you are, you need to partner with something bigger than yourself and your buddies. And like the Navy SEALs might partner with the federal government, you might say, I believe if you want to be ultimately successful, you want to partner with God or the frequency of God or source or innate intelligence. And the second idea is that your connection with source and innate intelligence is a product of your nervous system. And so quieting the nervous system, which meditation will do, but what I ended up discovering was that you could use neurofeedback to quiet the nervous system much more quickly, because the part of the nervous system that needs to be quieted is the brain. And we've already touched on the idea that the brain's on overload, attempting to process the entire world on its own, when in fact, in our natural state of connection with source, guidance is naturally available. And because it's not, we're all in overload. So what I've learned how to do, the long story short, is I've learned how to let the brain find itself through the hardware, software, and let the brain reorganize itself and do it itself. Because most neurofeedback begins with what's called a brain map. And then somebody interprets the brain map, and then somebody decides what your brain should look like, and they do protocols or exercises to push the frequencies of the brain around to balance it based on what they think it should look like. And this particular guy, since I haven't named a company and this and that, he had two restraining orders against him. So he was kind of a genius, but he was probably not the healthiest person in the world to be deciding what your brain should look like. He was really a data guy. Really, in fact, he really only cared about data, and that's why I left the organization. And then I wrote Core Resonance, my second book. But the point is, I was introduced to neurofeedback. I now have about 400 sessions, most of it with my own gear, having learned, again, how to let the brain discover itself through the hardware software. And what I discovered is that is you use core resonance as we quiet the brain, because see, I see our nervous system like a living antenna system. Think of your nervous system like in a drawing. It's all these little tendrils of nerves and neurons and this and that, and see it like a living antenna system, because the neurons are made out of microtubules, and microtubules is what source talks to in each cell. All cells have microtubules. Anything living has cells, has microtubules, but neurons have far more microtubules. And to take it a half step further, in my first 10 years of meditation, I discovered that in becoming quiet, I realized the nervous system, as my mind quieted down, that I realized the nervous system is always listening. I began to see that the nervous system senses out and receives back. Anyway, I discovered using neurofeedback to quiet the brain, which quieted the nervous system. And as the brain quieted down, our natural state of connection with source naturally became evident and naturally became available. And better than that, the mind would subside to this connection. And so that's the difference between guidance and light, because we're using the mind to build and broadcast our connection with source and refine our connection with source. And with core resonance, we're putting the mind will relate to this connection, because otherwise the mind's function, I believe, is as a guard dog for the brain on overload. I don't believe the mind is.
I want to interject something here very briefly, Jim, and that is, I want the audience to be crystal clear that this technology is not Jim Hamilton programming your brain. It is Jim Hamilton providing you with a technology that allows you to discover some things about yourself and then make decisions about, you know, what to do with that information. There isn't any programming going on here.
You know, Rob, that's precisely true. So many things you do are programming. I mean, you could have these dark glasses where you got the diodes going off or the little blinking lights, and that's all programming. There's so many things. Crystal bowls are programming. I'm not going to tell you they're bad or they're wrong, but you don't, if you really knew what the frequencies were doing to your nervous system, maybe you'd do them, maybe you wouldn't, but it's a phenomenon, so that's programming, yeah. And core resonance, there's no programming in this work, because what we instead do in quieting the nervous system, our natural state of connection with source becomes enabled. And as that becomes enabled, the mind will subside to that connection. There's no instructions from us on anything. This is a naturally occurring scenario. And as the mind subsides, which is the thing we're after, whether you're meditating or doing ayahuasca or plant medicines, whatever, as the mind subsides, the connection becomes even more enabled. And as this connection becomes enabled, guidance naturally shows up. And that's what I don't have a better term for it than calling it full-blown guidance. And in full-blown guidance, that's why core resonance can deliver you to ascension, because as we move out of the mind and become blended with source, the whole thing really opens up. And a lifetime of this would produce a result that will last, I say, the rest of your life, the rest of your next type of life. So I believe in ascension. That's not the goal of this. That's not my point. The point is that I've learned how to access guidance. And as we move into guidance, synchronicity, harmony, and order, which is a phrase I created many, many years ago, becomes far more evident. Flow becomes far more evident. And in flow, prosperity and guidance, prosperity and abundance are found. So you move out of the mind is where flow and prosperity and abundance and synchronicity, harmony, and order all show up. And that's the magic. And by the way, we document the daylights out of it as we go along.
Another interjection, if I may. I think when, not necessarily all people, when some people hear about quieting the mind or going out of the mind, there may be an inclination to be fearful about that state because we're so used to being in our minds and so used to trying to figure things out, trying to use the mind for things it was never intended to use. I would just invite the audience to, you know, to let go of that fear. To be more specific, you know, if God wanted to talk to you, would you listen? What if God's talking to you every moment and you haven't been listening?
There we go. That's probably more accurate.
What if the gentleman I'm talking to this morning has two technologies that will put you in touch with that conversation? Would that be worthy of your, would that be worthy of exploring? I would think so.
Well, so let me put it this way. Soaring affirmations, prosperity, and guidance light is a very gentle process, very gentle. You move with it at your own rate and speed. There's nothing, there's no wreckage left behind. Same thing with core resonance and neurofeedback. It's also a very gentle process because it doesn't rip anything open. There's no programming in this, and the mind subsides at its own rate and speed. And so you could almost say this is a, what's the best term? Trajectory isn't what I want, but it's the better analogy is when you do plant medicines or LSD or anything like that, that's abrupt. That's abrupt. And we all know most people have done LSD or the different plant medicines. Generally speaking, it's kind of an abrupt process. For a lot of us, it's fun, and I've done my fair share. The disadvantage, if you will, is that when it's over, you're not exactly positive where it's going to drop you off. And so there's a reorientation that goes on. And with core resonance and the soaring affirmation program, you have none of that. It's all very, very gentle. And I'd rather not say that technically you control it, but it's a very gentle process. And it can't, you don't lose control because you do, you want to let go of control. So it's a gentle process. That's a long story short. So, and it's all about introspection, and we document what we do as we go along. So the whole thing is notes driven. Like when you do core resonance, the first thing you do when you come in, if you've been doing sessions, the first thing you do is document what you've discovered since your last session. That's the first thing. We're looking for newfound synchronicity in the arm. We're looking for evidence of this working. And so that becomes kind of like an affirmation. When you come in to do a session, again, you start with what you've discovered since your last session. And then before you start the individual protocol, because you do several protocols like an exercise, you identify how you feel before you do it. Then you identify how you feel afterward. So let's say you're doing core resonance and you're having really a rough experience, then I mean, you'd be documenting that and clearly you wouldn't be going forward, but I don't have any of that. In fact, I've never even had anybody cry in tears doing core resonance. There's nothing raucous about it. Trauma dissipates with no more tension than a soap bubble popping. It's a very, very gentle process. I'm glad you brought it up as an idea because it's an important, it's, you're not ripping anything open. At all. There's no need to reorient after you complete this kind of thing at all. It's very gentle.
Let's suppose a member of our audience this morning is intrigued by what you've shared, Jim. What are his or her next steps to get going and have a personal experience of this process?
Well, core resonance is meant to be shared. It's designed now. I used to sell systems to individuals. And now it's really designed. It doesn't have to, it doesn't take six people to use it, but it's designed to be owned and shared by six people in what's called a colony. But disregarding that, to learn more about core resonance, go to my website, core resonance, excuse me, coreresonance.com. And my whole website is oriented around core resonance. There's lots of videos. There's the video series, coreresonance.com/explanation, which is the colony we ran up to COVID, before and up to COVID, ran for about 6 months. A lot of interesting testimonials of people's experience. But at the same time, you can contact me for a Zoom call to talk about this on an individual basis. And I have to point out real quick is that core resonance has a second. So core resonance can rapidly bump consciousness because as we quiet the nervous system, which is say quiet the brain, as resistance drops, consciousness goes up because consciousness and resistance are inverse. As you move away from resistance, which is caused by overload, brain being on overload, and rigidity and reactionary posturing, again, all caused by a brain on overload. As the brain quiets down, we bump up the map of consciousness, and we can actually bump people, towards 700 in not a very long period of time, a year. So, in quieting the nervous system, our connection with source becomes enabled. As it becomes enabled, we become more blended with source. But just to touch real quick, there's something called Taproot by Core Resonance. And it's meant to be used by organizations, companies that want their key people to become coherent. Because that's what we're generating. We're causing people to move away from overload, plug into source, et cetera. But Taproot is actually about grounding coherence into the foundation of an organization. And that's way out in front. That's you take the six key figures of your company, core resonance is set up in your organization, and people go in and do sessions a couple times a week. I like to see three times. And it's astounding what can be achieved. And I'm available to talk to anybody by Zoom or email or by phone about this stuff. It's quite interesting.
Early in this call, you made a couple of observations I want to go back to. One was you talked about a point in time where you felt you were totally present for a period of 3 weeks.
Right.
And then you also commented that having had that experience and other experiences similar to it, it placed you in a position to reverse engineer the technologies you've shared with us today
That's
because
fair.
you knew where you wanted to support people in heading.
Right.
And I don't want that to, go by the wayside, in our discussion this morning. You've experienced personally presence and an alignment with the frequency of God. Are there things about that that you would like to, share with the audience this morning? More flesh on the bones, maybe?
Well, the other thing that occurs to me, and I'll make a remark that I've made once in a while. I claim to have spent 3 years in presence.
Oh my.
I have no way to really, other than the documenting I was doing when I was doing core resonance sessions, because I was doing a lot of core resonance at the time. And the curiosity is, I remember that time frame instead of being in a mind-driven world of memories. I remember that time frame more as a reflection, like a reflection in a mirror. It's kind of hard to try to make any sense of, but and it's incidental because that first time I was in presence, which was way before I had any of my own technologies, it was kind of a it was hard. Holding that open for 3 weeks. Again, I remember being on the freeway realizing in LA and I was in this different space, and it I believe it lasted for 3 weeks. But what happens is as you start moving into becoming more conscious, more flow shows up. And that's really the game we're after. We're not trying to rip a new hole in the universe and stick our head out and, you know, see what God looks like. Not at all. What we're looking for is new levels of personal performance, new levels of synchronicity, harmony, and order, new levels of abundance and prosperity and flow. And it's just like everything is at our fingertips, and particularly after the fact, you can see all the nodal points or all the choices. And an example, you know, I met up with you about a month ago in San Clemente, or in fact, it was August 20th, I think, because my event started on the 21st. But this is wild. So I'm in Encinitas for a neuroscience convention, conference, whatever. And I was going to go up to Santa Barbara because I had some technology to deliver to a client up there. And we had a storm coming in that was called, it was a hurricane. And supposedly Southern California had not had a hurricane in 40 or 50 years, and they're very uncommon. And so, and my hotel was quite expensive in Santa Barbara because I was expecting maybe to do, I say entertaining, possibly I was going to do some core residence, and I needed my a ratty Airbnb wouldn't have worked. But so I'd had quite a bit of expense being in Encinitas for 5 days. It was kind of unexpected before I hit Santa Barbara, and the hurricane came along, and I thought I am not going to be driving between Encinitas through LA with hurricane type weather and mud slides and who knows what, and I'm not even a local. So I canceled my Santa Barbara hotel reservation at the last minute and decided that if we had a storm, and I've been in hurricanes before and around them, that I was going to stay in my hotel and go back to Arizona when I could. And I happen to know that with hurricanes traveling, the east side of the storm is the big side, the east side of the track. And so I was really kind of in a bind because to leave meant the biggest chunk of water and the biggest chunk of flooding was going to be on the east side of the track, which is my way back to Arizona. So I was kind of in a quandary how to deal with all this. And I was trying to be careful because, again, I'm not a local in Southern California. I even went and had a couple of cocktails, which is kind of common before a storm. In fact, it was raining pretty hard and the wind was blowing when I went into this place in Encinitas. I came out, it was blowing harder and my shoes got wet getting to my car, and not a big deal. I even drove back the long way along Pacific Coast Highway and got up to my Oceanside. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, the storm was over. And by 3 o'clock, I realized the storm was over. And so I went back to sleep. Completely over it. It dissipated, or something happened. And in the morning, I decided I was going to renew my Santa Barbara because I had an important connection. I had important meetings up there. And so I'm in my hotel room. I find an Airbnb and on. I don't get out of my hotel room till 12:30 because this is a massive readjustment. I'm now going to go forward. So I drove through LA. I left my place in Encinitas at 12:30. I drove through LA. That's somewhere between 60 and 100 miles, depending on how you want to measure it. So I'm sure certainly across LA is 60 miles. No traffic. Why? Schools were closed that day. This was closed. That was closed. On because a hurricane was supposed to come. So it's a funny thing that I would say that I had ultimately a whole bunch of advantages of a hurricane coming and dissipating, including no traffic driving across all of LA. And then ended up in an Airbnb that was far cheaper than my hotel, and ended up having a great. So the point is that synchronicity, harmony, and order will unfold if you will let it, even to the point of hurricanes showing up and then dissipating so that all the traffic disappears in LA so I can drive across town with no trouble. And curiously, at that same time, the hurricane's doing its thing. Oh, I had like five earthquakes. So the fun part is the whole thing becomes fun when you learn how to let go. You learn, you know, I made decisions to cancel the plane up to Santa Barbara based on the weather. Weather disappeared. The expenses in Santa Barbara dropped immeasurably. They dropped over 1,000 in the hotel part of it. And met with my client and did what I was supposed to do and then drove home. So it's kind of a funny deal, but the hurricane dissipating the traffic driving through LA in the middle of the day was fun. Just a little thing.
Before we close out this segment, would you care to make a comment or two on the statement, allowing to do the heavy lifting, which I got very clearly listening to you describe your Encinitas LA experience?
Well, you know, out of the sort, so that's the most recent development. It's called Choice Points. And the subtitle might be Choice Points Allowing to Do Life's Heavy Lifting. In fact, I just put a newsletter out on that a couple, 3 weeks ago. It's easy to find on my website. Choice points are interesting. And again, this came to me. It's a technology. And the idea is that in every moment, we are making choices, whether we're aware of it or not. And in fact, just doing the same thing over again, over and over again, embracing the same thing over and over again is actually full of many choices. I even came up with a new term, micro choices, but they become automated. And what happens is every time you have an opportunity to catch up with yourself, make a choice point toward more coherence. Make a choice point toward no more coherence. You're not deciding what coherence looks like, because who the hell are you to decide what your end result looks like? The idea is to make choices toward more coherence and let that guidance unfold its own version of what's what. And so you're precisely right, because the choice points is a very powerful, a very simple concept. And choice points runs really strong in my arena these days. And when I discovered it and started using it, really kicked in really fast. And the other aspect of that is in our field, all of us have things where we have dissonant activities and we have dissonant relationships and we have dissonant organizations that maybe we support, hoping or intending to contribute to that organization not being so dissonant. And what I say is drop it. Drop it, drop it, drop it, make choices toward more coherence, because you can be far more useful to the whole instead of nursing something that's dissonant. And I know everybody's not going to agree, and that's fine, because there will always be people to help people that can't help themselves. But I'll tell you what, as we learn to understand our nature, as we learn to understand guidance, as we learn to understand how prosperity and abundance works, which is not about money, it's about things being at your fingertips as you move forward, as you make choices toward more coherence, you ultimately become more useful to others. And so we got to find a new way to become useful. And in fact, I dropped two things here in Arizona, an organization I've actually done some speaking at, and I decided they were a dissonant group. I dropped that and I dropped something else. And that's how the Santa Barbara thing showed up. This was 2, 3, 4 months ago. And because we all have a full plate, and if we let dissonance go, dissonant organizations and dissonant activities that otherwise we inadvertently embrace because we continue to feed them, and instead make choices toward more coherence, our life will improve quite a bit. So the choice points goes with the Soaring Affirmations program. Of course, it would go with the core resonance and the taproot thing, but it's one of those little things that that's come along with me exploring flow and prosperity and abundance, and concepts come in. And luckily I've been writing this stuff down, starting with that that journaling that was from the year probably 1998 to the year 2000. And then Visionaries Thrive in All Times took off. And now I've got 180 articles and 5 books and I keep documenting flow and synchronicity, harmony, and order, and teach access to it.